Well, all right, we are in our last message. I'm going to move my chair. I'm going to pull this table out just a little bit. In this series that we've been talking about, the Holy Spirit. And there's just so many things we could say and delve into when you think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we had one more part to this series, and so we thought we would talk about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because it's just such a primary importance in our life.
Yes.
We want to fulfill the will of God for our life. We talk about knowing God and finding purpose, that we say that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Well, the only way we're going to walk that out in our lives is if we understand how to be led by God's Spirit, because He knows the plan and purpose for our lives. And so cultivating that understanding and how to accurately follow Him is just, again, of primary importance to us. And in America, you know, we live with just a smorgasbord of choices in our lives, choices about anything and everything, from coffee. I mean, you could stand in a Starbucks and get confused about what you want. There are so many choices. I remember the day when I think it was Colombian and French roast and maybe hazelnut was on the shelf. I was like, which one should I get? And now you could stand there and for 15 minutes trying to figure out which country you want it from, or do you want it fair trade? How do you want it ground? Do you want... And so from coffee to pets to our job choices, car choices, travel choices, just open up the internet and go on Amazon, and you have thousands of choices. Too many, because sometimes, and that's the point, having more options doesn't necessarily help us make the right choice. In fact, sometimes I think it can put us into overload. You sort of get... analysis paralysis. How many of you are like that? I get too many choices. I don't know which choice to do. And then if I pick one and I go back and think, maybe I should have chosen the other thing. Maybe that one would have been better. And we just have to sometimes get a grip on all these choices. You know, whether it has to do with choosing so many things in our life, where you live or where you go to church. Mm-hmm. Or choosing your attitude, or like what Pastor C was saying, closing out worship, choosing to walk in love and forgiveness, or choosing how I handle my money, choosing how I deal with my work ethic. You're slowly going to shape your future,
yes,
depending on all the different choices that you make in your everyday life.
Yes.
And that's a pretty important thing. And I think anybody sitting here, if you came to church, you're interested in God's will for your life, right?
Amen.
Yeah. But God's will in our life is not automatic. It just does not automatically unfold in our life. I wish that it did. It would make things a whole lot easier. But it doesn't. And there are just some basic choices that we are going to have to make. And we have to make those choices in even a sustained way in our life.
True.
If we want to finish our course with joy and walk out the will of God for our life. It's kind of this long obedience in the same direction. I think Eugene Peterson is the person
right.
who said that. But
yes.
I like that. A long obedience in the same direction in our life will keep us on the path for what God has for us as we learn to follow His Spirit. But there's just so many. God allows us to make choices, and we have a whole lot of them out there, don't we?
Yes.
And some things happen in our lives because of the choices that we make. Good things. Sometimes not so good things. And it's in the discerning of the choice to make that it gets tricky. How do we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Because not every door that opens to us is the leading of God.
Come on.
Not every opportunity that presents itself is the one I'm supposed to take. Not every invitation that comes my way I'm supposed to just say yes to or pursue. I mean, and we're going to go over some of these things in this message. Not every good feeling I have, not every series of thoughts that I entertain are necessarily coming from the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of them are, but some of them could get mixed in with a lot of our natural feelings. And just because something feels right, or, you know, the relationship you're in feels right, doesn't necessarily mean God's in that relationship, right? Not every great promotion that presents itself is the one that God is saying yes, because the money is better.
Right.
And you'll get the bigger house, or you'll get to buy the car is the thing I want you to do.
Come on.
And so we have to learn to discern how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in spite of natural feelings that will want to override what we want to do.
Correct.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, our feelings will tell us, yes, now, do it, buy it, go for it, start it, whatever it is. I remember 20 plus years ago, we had it in our heart when God spoke to us of 20 plus years ago about a church in Butler. And at the time, you know, we had just graduated from ministry, and there were people telling us, do it now. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things in the circumstance that seemed like this could be. But somewhere deep in our heart, as we kept pursuing God about the matter, we knew it wasn't the timing of God to do it. And so for that reason, we followed the leading of God. And it did take us on a path, a journey, of course, where lots of years went by, but God used those years to do a work in our heart, to build us, to build our spiritual strength, to build our character, to refine us, to get us ready to do what we're doing today. And so, yeah, God gave us human reasoning, and we have to use our human reasoning. But look at this scripture, Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are the sons and daughters of God. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So following the leading of the Holy Spirit throughout our life is just the primary importance. It's going to really determine whether you fulfill what God has for you, and it's going to determine even the fruit that you bear in your life.
Yep.
Right? It's as so a result. True. I mean, ultimately, God wants you to bear fruit, lots of good fruit in your life, and that's the whole point of why we follow the Holy Spirit. And by following him, he stabilizes our lives, he builds our character, he brings wholeness into our lives, and he leads us into a better path, paths of righteousness, it says, for his name's sake, and so that I can live a blessed life. I mean, God wants our lives to be blessed. Jesus did say, I came to bring you abundant life.
Come on.
And so we have to go on that journey with God to find out what he means by abundant life.
It's true. I mean, but here's the key. Our time here on this planet isn't all about me living the blessed life. That's good preaching, Pastor.
What?
But that is true.
Yeah,
it's not about you or me living the blessed life. God has, you know, we're part of a mission. It's a bigger mission. God has a plan for this entire planet. You and I are part of that plan. And it's called the Great Commission. Everybody remember that? The Great Commission. He says you're to go and speak of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Go out into all the world, he says, and make disciples. It's not always going to be focused on me. You know, what was the first line in Rick Warren's book? It's not about you. And it's not about us. It's about us fulfilling what God has placed in our heart, what we can read in his word he's asking us to do. And it's about stepping out, believing he will lead us, he will guide us into accomplishing what he wants us to do. Along the way, our lives will be blessed. And we've got to get the idea of what blessed means. Blessed doesn't mean that now my bank account's full, I got two cars in the garage, I got a four-wheeler, Michigan beats Ohio State. That was a beat down, I have to say.
Yeah.
But Jesus was always reaching out, wasn't he?
Yes.
His whole life, he's always reaching out. And we're being conformed to his image. That's the whole plan, is that you and I are being conformed to the image of Christ. And that means in our attitude and our actions, our thought life, everything, conformed to his image. And if Jesus was reaching out, then that means you and I will be reaching out also. Amen?
Right. Amen.
You know, we have a couple of, you heard in the announcements, we're collaborating with St. Vincent de Paul. You know, there's people in this town that are going hungry. kids in this town that don't have stuff. That's why we found out from the teachers at an elementary school. These kids are in desperate need. And so we have some resources that we could do, that we could bring about, a comfort level that I think every kid deserves, don't you? That's that gingerbread church out there, the gingerbread tree.
If you go out in the lobby and look for a gingerbread
church. It talks about cookies.
Yeah.
Cookies. Cookies. Denise and I were in the cookie place earlier today.
Oh, you're telling.
Yeah, I was good, wasn't I? I was good. Okay. It took all that willpower that I had. It's used up, so. But we believe in missionaries going to different countries. We support missionaries that go to different countries. We have in the past in Community Life Church, we started 7 churches in Cuba, where we, Before we had this building, we bought property for 7 churches in Cuba. And we paid the pastor's salary for a whole year. That's what we did, because we're reaching out. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is reach out. Do you know that there's a lot of things you can reach out with? A lot of great stuff, amen? But there's the good stuff, and then there's the right stuff to do. And that's where the leading of the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, you and I are the hands and feet of Christ. You and I are the mouthpiece of Jesus. Not many people are going to just all of a sudden, I think I'll read the Bible today, and they're sinners. You're not going to get people that are doing that. You are going to be the only Bible that some people read. And so we have to represent that Bible correctly, amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand that being led by God is vital importance, to go to the right person, to the right timing, and do it His way. If we're the mouthpiece of Jesus, we better find out what He is saying so that we can agree with it, amen?
Amen.
There's so many, I don't go on social media, I don't have the time. Right. I'm in a blind hunting deer. But you have, if some of you in here do the social media thing, you have a Facebook page and all that, it would be a great opportunity for you to be an inviter on that Facebook page.
Yeah.
Invite them to come to church. Be an inviter. Use that influence for the kingdom of God. I mean, there's a lot of junk on that internet, isn't there? You can add something positive on that internet that can advance the kingdom of God. There's a statistic out that says it takes 7 times before a person will take your invitation and come to church. 7 times. And how many people know that some of the people I've been inviting, it's been 14, 15, 16, 17. We're keeping going. But it's our job to be imparting to them the heart of Jesus. We are His hands and feet. We are to be reaching out. We all have loved ones right now that if they continue on the course that they're in, they're going to die and go to hell. You might not be that individual that's going to help that person, your relative. Relatives are the hardest people to minister to, but you can minister to somebody else's relatives, and they'll hear you there.
That's right, yeah.
But we have to be effective laborers in the harvest.
Yeah.
We have to be effective. That's why it's vital for us to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right. And one of the things that makes it hard to be led by the Holy Spirit is our fast-paced culture. Mm. I mean, we all go at a pretty hectic speed, do we not? From morning till night, as soon as you get up, especially y'all that have family and kids in the household, it's like, hurry up, kids, grab your shoes, find your socks. Oh, your pajamas are still on. We got to go to school. And, you know, they're eating their sandwich going out the door, and you're texting and answering phones or checking your computer and helping your kid with homework. And there's multitasking all the time. And it takes time to be led by the Holy Spirit. It takes time for us to slow down and pause a little bit. Slow down our thoughts a little bit and acknowledge who's on the inside of us. Because we could just get up in the morning and go, and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of every believer. We have to make that point.
True.
Because the Holy Spirit does not dwell on the inside of an unbeliever. It's only the people who are born of God's Spirit who have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them. A person who's not born again is actually not following the Holy Spirit. They're following the devil.
Right.
They're actually, that's kind of a scary thought when I say it. And it sounds kind of tough, and maybe tough to hear, but it's actually the truth. That for a person who's never repented of their sin, that person, the scripture says, is lost in their sin and actually under the wrath of God and following the prince of the power of the air,
right,
which refers to the devil. And so that's not a good thing, but the good news is that can be changed.
Amen.
Just simply by repenting of our sin and acknowledging our need for a Savior. And then when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you, there's opportunities all day long. Holy Spirit, help me as you get up in the morning. Guide me in my thoughts today. Help me with my choices today at work. Help me, put a guard on my mouth so I don't, my speech is, gives you glory. Right? Help me to teach my kids to know about you. Help me to open my ears, Lord. You'd be driving to work, you could say these things.
Right.
Yes, but it does involve sometimes turning off the radio or shutting off whatever it is you're listening to, a podcast, and talking to the Holy Spirit. Open my ears today to hear your voice so I can walk with you. And for some, this is hard because you struggle with believing that God would really want to be this close to you, that God could really talk to you this way as a friend, that he wants you to commune with him like that.
Amen.
For others, your struggle is different because deep down inside, you don't want to give up control of your life, and you know that if I start talking to God this way and asking him to help me and show me, maybe he's going to mess up my plans. And you want to keep your relationship with him a little bit more informal. I could go to church, I could serve even somewhere in the church, but don't be messing with my plans, Lord. Because we all do have sometimes our personal stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah. But if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to resign from your position as governor of your life. You might as well write your resignation as soon as you get born again, because that's the path he'll take you on. Resign from being the governor and leader of your life. Step aside and put him on the throne of your heart to be led by him. And either way, when we do this, even if you're afraid to be that close to God or you've got some issues with control and giving up control in your life, either way, it's going to involve humility.
Come on.
And this is on our outline. Being led by the Holy Spirit will require humility in my heart. I'm going to have to submit to his love for me and believe that he wants to commune with me that closely, or I'm going to have to submit and give up my control. But either way, it is humility. And it's the beginning then of reprogramming our mind to how this whole thing plays out, how I walk out this journey with God in my life.
It's important.
Listening to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit.
It's really important. And if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, which, I believe that most Christians want to hear from God. Amen?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I hope so, because he's the one who's going to lead and guide you. We have to recognize how he leads us. We have to recognize how he guides us. We got to recognize his voice. If you're reading the word, you're going to get some understanding on how he speaks to us. We're going to be able to recognize his voice. We're going to be able to see if it's going to line up with the written word of God. Being led by the Spirit of God is vitally important for us to live our lives, to complete it, to fulfill it, because if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, our life could actually be spent and be finished, and we never stepped into what God wanted us to do.
Yeah.
That is a disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say that happens in many churches. Many churches People don't know how to hear his voice. People don't understand the leading that comes. He brings to guide you. You don't understand. Listen, life's full of rabbit trails already. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the humility part is very important. Let's take Apostle Paul, for example. Here he was. Everywhere he goes, he's starting churches. People are getting saved. Miracles are happening. This is great. Where does he end up? He ends up in prison. Do you think he had a conversation with God? Everywhere I go, Lord, I'm starting churches. Everywhere I go, Lord, people are being healed. Everywhere I go, Lord, people are getting saved. What's up with this? Well, aren't you and I glad that he was in prison for that long?
Yeah.
See, God had a better plan. And this is it. There are a plethora of good things to do. But is it the right thing to do? The Holy Ghost will lead us. And so this is why it's so important for us to understand how to hear his voice. Understand that you're going to submit to him no matter what. And you have to get this quiet time to hear him. He's not like your mom yelling, clean your room, clean your room. Samuel, where are you? Clean, clean your room. He's going to just give it. He's going to offer it. And then he's going to watch what you do with it. It's important for us. You know, we have the privilege of hearing from God. It's really a privilege. When we recognize, when we come to the places, I'm privileged to carry the presence of God within me. I am privileged to be able to hear his voice. I am privileged to be able to be led and guided by him because he cares for me and he's put me on an assignment, and I don't want to look him eye to eye and say, and hear him say, you didn't do what I asked you. Well, I don't want to. That's a scary thought for me. It's a scary thought. But this is one thing that we got in our heart because it's in the Word. Look at what it says here, John chapter 10, verse 27. This is awesome. Jesus says this. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. You know what he's talking about? Jesus is what? He is the good shepherd. That's correct. For John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Word of God. If we want to hear his voice, then we better get into that book. Amen. This is how we're going to recognize his voice. But there are so many voices in this world that are competing for our attention. Mm-hmm. Jason a couple of weeks ago said that he was pumping gas and there's a little TV show going on in at the pump. We don't need that, folks. We don't need that. Well, on our outline it says, the voice of the world. The voice of the world, that's the first one. It buzzes around us. You know, it's everywhere. It's media. It's just jamming down your throat because they want to create, the world system wants to create a culture that is opposite of our kingdom. And the scripture says, don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust, here it is, here's the voice of the world. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. And that's all passing away. The next thing is, we have the voice of the devil. Let me give you a clue. He doesn't show up in a red suit and tell you, I'm the devil. He is sneaky. Don't we all know? We all had a past before coming to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's sneaky. And he's very convincing. And he is very good at what he does. And in truth, without the Spirit of God, we're no match for him. That's why we need the Spirit of God living in us. He's going to lie to you. He's going to say, you're not worth it. He's going to say, God never really forgave you of your sin because this is how you are. Yeah. You're always doing the same thing over and over and over and over. You're worthless. You're no good. How can you even go to church, you know? You go to church and the whole ceiling will collapse. I've heard it. How many of you said it? Well, there was this time, Pastor. But if he can't get you into the place where you start to condemn yourself and belittle yourself of who you are in Christ, he's going to push you the other way. He goes both sides. He wants to make you feel like you're worthless and you don't deserve anything at all and that you never will measure up. Or if you understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and if you hold on to that, then he's going to try to work that to a place where you get prideful about it. Amen? It happens to every single one of us. This is nothing new. It just happens. This is his mode of operation. He wants you to get so upset, and he wants you to get a critical spirit, and so then we start to deteriorate our position in Christ. So there, we got the voice of the world, we got the voice of the devil, and this is another one we've got to take a look at. It's the voice of reason. It's the voice of reason. People who are very logical have to really watch this because they know how to do each step, and they are very accurate about if I do this, then this is the next step, then this is the next step, then this is the next step. And when you keep doing that, you discount the power and the ability of God to come in and fix a situation that needs to be fixed when you don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Because how many times do we know we don't have answers? A lot of times. We don't. But if you hold on to this logical thinking, this voice of reason, it will negate the power of God in your life, and it'll hold you back, and it'll keep you under. God wants to put us over.
Right, yeah.
Amen.
Right. So another one is the voice of familiarity. Familiarity. We've always done it this way. Let's not rock the boat. I'm not familiar with that. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what that'll involve. You know, the familiarity can sometimes be good.
Yep.
It can feel stabilizing and secure. But when we start to walk with God, I mean, think about it. If we are partnered with the God, all caps, creator of heaven and earth, the universe,
yes,
all that is, all that we see and will ever be, if we're partnering with someone like that, don't you think and believe that we're going to be challenged to think out of the box with God and think a greater thought and get out of the familiar.
Amen.
And walk with him into sometimes horizons that are unknown, feelings that are unknown, dependency. When I learn to depend on God and not on myself, it's going to seem unfamiliar.
Yes.
I'm going to feel like I'm walking on water. Like, what's going to happen if I obey God and go in this direction? And so we have to be willing to forsake familiarity.
Amen.
Sometimes in order to expand our horizons and walk by faith with the Holy Spirit. And then there's the voice of feelings. Mm. Oh, boy, this is a biggie for most of us. Feelings. What about how I feel? Haven't we all said it?
Yes.
I feel this way, and our feelings can so often muddy accurate discernment of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives.
Come on.
So often that happens. Feelings are important in many areas of our lives. Of course they are, but they can be completely unreliable to us in matters of faith.
Come on.
You know, when it comes to walking with the Holy Spirit by faith, our feelings can be very unreliable sometimes. And the nature of our walk in the world is about feelings. It's about opinions.
Yes.
I mean, just go on a blog,
right,
go on Facebook. Everybody has a thought and opinion and a feeling about something. But walking by faith doesn't have anything to do really with our feelings. It has to do with,
amen,
submitting to the Word of God in our lives. And sometimes our feelings don't want to do that. Amen.
Amen.
How many of us have ever come up against things that we've seen in the Word of God? You know, and especially I think it has to do with when God wants to walk in forgiveness with people, in love with people, and it's like, oh, my feelings don't want to go over there. And yet I know I have to obey. If I want to walk with God, I have to forgive like Jesus forgave. And you exhorted that so well at the end of the service with the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. So we're without excuse before God.
Come on, that's
well,
true.
I can't. God be like, well, my spirit dwells in on the inside of you. You can.
Amen.
I can. You know, when we begin to yield. And so our hurt feelings, our excited feelings, our depressed feelings, our disappointed feelings, whatever feelings that we're having can pull us just into the wrong direction.
Yes.
They'll spur us on really to make sometimes wrong decisions in our lives, give
True.
Us wrong perceptions of things from what God is saying. But thank God there's one more voice that we can follow, and that's the voice of God.
Yes.
That is the voice of God. Of course, the most important voice. And you would think because it's God's voice, somehow it would boom into our being. We would know what God is saying. And yet it's just the opposite.
I wish it was true.
Because it's a whisper, you're right. It's a still small voice that he begins to bear witness on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so the voices of the world can sometimes be shouting at us. But if we want to listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, this is learning to follow that still small voice. Or a witness in our heart.
A really great example of that is found in 1 Kings 19 when Elijah was running for his life and he ran and found a cave and he's complaining to God, said, I'm the only one left out of the whole nation of Israel. And God kind of tried to straighten him up a bit. And it comes out of, like I said, the 19th chapter. And then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks to pieces before the Lord. Think about that. Rocks are breaking because of the wind. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That Hebrew word still small means a gentle whisper of God's voice. That's why it's so easily overlooked in our, you know, I think if the busier you get, the more sensory overload
yeah.
you get, the less and less likely you're going to hear the voice of God. And this is important for us to understand too. Just because something was spectacular doesn't mean at all it was God. Just because it was large doesn't mean it was God. It's the still small voice. And obviously, for us, this means that there's got to be a work on your part and my part to quiet ourselves, to allow this intimate conversation to go on, this intimate communication to go on. Recognizing God is that still small voice within you. And he wants to communicate with you. He wants to cause you to fulfill your purpose on this planet. He is a blesser. And he wants to bless you. Remember what it says? It says if you give a cup of cold water to a little one, you'll not lose your reward. But we have to have being led by the Spirit of God, recognizing that still small voice, because if you don't give that cold water to that little one, what happens now? Oops. It goes both ways, guys. It goes both ways.
And, you know, you talk about hearing God. Silence is just quickly becoming a rarity in the world. I mean, when your house is silent and you have kids, everybody's bored all of a sudden. I don't know what to do, right? Like, make some noise. Bang some things around. Then everybody starts to feel comfortable. Oh, yeah, yeah, with all that background noise. So I remember hearing how David Wilkerson, who was pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, he began Teen Challenge years ago, which was a rehabilitation program for drug addicts, teen drug addicts. And he took gang members from the city, and he would take them to the mountains of eastern Pennsylvania where it was very quiet on retreats. And he said the kids were awestruck by what they called the sound of silence. that at first it made them uncomfortable, right. Even made them nervous, like, what is wrong out here? They were just so used to the crashing noise of the city streets and everything that was going on that it took them a while to feel comfortable to just rest and sit in some kind of peaceful silence. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that.
Yep.
And I would encourage you to find room for silence in your life somehow, some way. Because so often the first thing when people get up in the morning, we not only wake up with an alarm clock, but then everything just starts to get wired up, right? It's checking your phone and checking emails and turning on the computer. And some people flick on the TV or it's the radio or whatever it is. People get used to this hum of background noise. And it really does make it difficult. And I would say, I don't know, for me, I hear God's whisper best in the morning.
Yep.
For some of you, it's better at night. I fall asleep too quick at night if I wait. But there's something about even your brain waves in the early morning from subconscious and you're waking up from your sleep that mm-hmm. when you begin to put your mind on the things of God, I really believe you can hear a little bit better from God before all those noises start to muffle out. The sound of his whisper on the inside of us. So how does God speak to us? I mean, the number one way is the word of God. This is on your outline. Through the Bible. Pastor Steve said this verse, in the beginning was the word.
Yep.
The word was with God, and the word was God. So when we approach the Bible, it's not just words written on a page. That's natural thinking. When you approach reading the word of God, you're having a conversation with Jesus.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who knows the plan and purpose for your life, who understands the way you're put together and designed. So when you approach it, you simply approach it in faith. Jesus, speak to me as I read your word. And I guarantee you, if you will pause and put some, you know, make some silence to the timing and approach him in faith like he's real, which he is, and he's in the word of God, you will begin to sense him speaking to you. You could start with a gospel. Give yourself a little goals. Don't just every day open up and just go, well, where should I read today? I'll read that. Do something, and we're going to talk about this, the Giving God 6.
Yeah.
To just be consistent. Make small goals for yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to read one book. Choose Ephesians, and then go chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. But every time you open the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you.
Yes, yes.
And it gets exciting.
Amen.
It really gets exciting. We need to be continually washing our mind with the water of his word, or we're not going to be able to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in our life. And so my encouragement to you is to do whatever works for you to find silence and just approach the word of God in faith. And see if he does not begin to speak to you, or a scripture begins to stand out to you and the meaning becomes clear. That's how he speaks. I'm not talking about an audible voice speaking. That would be extremely rare to hear the audible. People do. I have once in my life.
And when you do, troubles come.
You know, very often those are things that God wants to imprint so deeply in your soul that you know for years to come. You go back to that word and it's like, no matter what the circumstances are, Lord, and that's really how it was with his church. That was the one audible voice, the time I heard the audible voice of God. It was regarding this church.
Yep.
And so no matter what happened along the way that looked like it wasn't going to happen, it was like, no, I know what you said. I heard it. And it'll hold you steady. But these are the ways that we have to approach just reading the word of God. That's how we hear him. Number two is
the inward witness. This is really important. Listen, we have to practice being led by the Holy Spirit. We just don't know it. We have to learn it. This is why it's so important with this relationship you have with Christ, is to invite him in. Help me, teach me, Holy Spirit. Teach me, Holy Spirit. You know what we pray for you? We pray that when you do read the word, the anointing falls on you, that you hear what it is, and you almost sense the very presence of Jesus in person. We pray that for you, because this is the word of God. That's the inward witness. If you don't know the word of God, you're going to miss it on the inward witness, because number one, you're going to be going with your feelings. Feelings are good, but feelings are bad also. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Look what it says here. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Here's a great way to start to practice being led by the Spirit of God. In the morning, you read the Word. And then as you go about your day, you ask him something specific. And you have that time of silence. Okay? You allow him to do his timing when he speaks to you. It's not the drive-thru. It isn't. It's not, I'm microwaving the Bible and it should get it. I'm going to sleep with it under my pillow because maybe osmosis will get it in here. It's not happening. Darn.
I know.
I tried it.
I know. Yeah, right.
If you get a scratchy feeling inside your heart on an incident or an issue or something you want to do, if you get that, that's like a red light. The Holy Spirit is saying, red light, don't do that. Stop. And guess what? He's not going to explain why. He's looking for obedience. I like what you said, Pastor Mamie. Long term, in the same way, obedience. Now, there's other parts of this, too. The Holy Ghost, well, you've got something going in your heart, and you think this is going to work. It's just like what we had about this building, about this church, about what we were called into ministry to do. We had this caution, like a yellow light, you know? It's like, no stop, caution. That means keep praying about it. The timing's not right. Okay? Nobody likes that part. I didn't. That's why he had to speak to me at school. And he told me, he said, Steve, ride the turtle. Yeah, oh my, I did not like that at all. Even when we were coming back from Bible college, we were coming back, kids were with us. I have this big old van. We got the car towing behind us. Everything's packed up, you know. We got this song on that says, we're going to take this city for Jesus Christ. You know what? I was doing it the next day. That was 1994. So you get this yellow light. Now, these are things you got to practice. You've got to practice this. We're not going to get it right all the time. And you can't beat yourself up for getting it wrong. Yeah. You just ask God to forgive you. Let's go. I'm going to learn something here. I need more sensitivity. Holy Spirit, help me. Mm-hmm. He'll say, start reading the Word more. We love the Word, so you're going to get it. Yeah. Then there's another thing where you're going to ask the Holy Spirit for something or say, Lord, what about this? What about this? And you're going to get this smooth feeling, velvety smooth. That's the green light, okay? It's the green light. Okay, proceed. You got me? It goes back to the idea where we think that we can't go by our feelings because it's important, because think of the example I gave you with Apostle Paul. His feelings were, and it's true, had tremendous success everywhere he went. Why are you sticking me in prison? We've got to go with the inward witness. We have to. Let's say that, here's a great example, going by your feelings. You're a young couple in love. I think we're just going to move in together, okay? I feel really good about it. Especially the men are saying that.
Of course you do.
But if you allow your feelings to take over, does this line up with the Word of God?
No.
No, that's the right answer. It doesn't. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so what God is going to say is like, there's that scratchy feeling right there.
Yeah.
And then he's going to watch you what you do.
Right.
This is really important. Or how about this? Let's say... You live in Butler, and you know everywhere you go, you owe people money. You know you can't go to the can't go to the contractor store anymore because you owe a bill. And then all of a sudden you're praying and saying, yeah, I think God is asking me to move to Florida.
I feel really good about that.
I have a peace about that. Does that line up with the Word of God? No, because God is saying that we need to pay our debts. Yeah. Amen?
Right.
Yeah, see, these are just simple examples. You know what? We've all got examples like this where we've missed it.
Yeah.
You already know them. I know them for my own self. But we've got to put our feelings aside. Yeah. And we've got to really rely on the Holy Spirit. So, now, there's a third way.
Yeah, let's go. We got a couple more before we finish up. Number three, we can hear God's voice through our circumstances. Sometimes God will speak to us even through our circumstances and use them as a tool for us. I mean, experiencing trouble in our life doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the will of God.
Hello.
Difficulties in our life, even like the roadblocks that seem to come in our life, doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God.
Yes.
Or that we're supposed to change direction for some reason. Because if you read Scripture, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and tried by the devil. I remember when I first started to read that, it was like, what? I hope you don't do that with my life, Lord. But he does.
Yes, he does.
He leads us. If you find yourself in a wilderness, that's just all part of the journey. Because in a wilderness situation, when our circumstances are difficult, we don't like where we're at, and we're looking at stuff in our life that God's showing us. Like, get me out of here. But the leading into the wilderness is for a purpose, because he'll use those circumstances to refine you, to bring up things out of your heart that he wants purged out of our heart.
Right.
We talk about that refiner's fire, and that's all part of the work of our circumstances. So we have found over and over that God just may frustrate your plan in order to help show a better plan for our life, or
Amen.
A better way,
right.
And teach us some things about patience and humility. And then the fourth way he we can hear God speak to us is through people. I mean, God will very often even confirm the things that you want to do in your life through people in your life. And that's actually a very safe way to do it. In a multitude of counsel, Proverbs says there's safety and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get wise counsel to confirm what you're believing and thinking, there's safety in that. But we can hear God, you know, through sermons or reading a book or listening to podcasts and conversations with other people. Sometimes God uses the most unlikely person to speak. It doesn't even have to be a believer. If your ears are open and you want to hear from God, that's happened a number of times in my life. It's very humbling because you hear God's say maybe no to you through somebody that you don't like or somebody, some unexpected way, someone who's younger in ministry or whatever. And I think, I know that was you, Holy Spirit. I get the message.
Yeah, it's not necessarily even that person knows anything about your circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
It really is amazing.
He does, yeah. We're running out of time.
We have to be open and receptive, and we have to hear the voice. We have to follow the leading. We have to obey the leading, even when we don't like it.
Yeah.
We're going to miss it, but we're going to have to just continue on this journey, because this is what God does with our lives. Now, we have some things here that are written down on the outline that I think are really important. And, you know, there is a thing called faith confessions. You believe something in your heart, the Bible says, and you speak it out your mouth. And that's faith in action. And then there is a confession unto faith. Let's say you're not quite believing what God is saying who you are, but you keep confessing it, and then all of a sudden it drops down into your heart, and now you own it. You become what that scripture says. And let's look at these faith confessions here. It says, I'm being led by the Spirit of God in me. Well, that's a great thing to say.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to tell yourself. I'm being led by the Spirit of God in me. I'm being led by the Spirit of God in me. The voice of the Good Shepherd.
Should we say these?
Let's do it. All right. Come on. Children's workers, come on.
But I think that... Or proceed as you're doing.
All right. Let's start off with the first one. Are we got the outline? Yeah, all right. We got it. I'm being led by the Spirit of God in me.
I hear the voice of the good shepherd. A stranger's voice I will not follow. I am becoming sensitive to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to me when I read his word. God gives me understanding in my circumstances. I listen to godly advice. I follow and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Now, wasn't there something nice that settled on you right there?
Yeah.
You know why? Because if you're born again, these are realities for you. This is who you are. This is how you're to operate on this planet.
Yeah.
But I want to give an invitation. Yeah. You might be here today and you're not born again. You do not have the Spirit of God within you, and you do not qualify for him to lead and guide you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. That scripture goes on to say those people who do not believe are condemned already. It's either or. You're condemned already. And the Bible goes on to say that as you keep walking and living out your life, you keep storing up the wrath of God upon you. The only way to allow that wrath of God to come off of you is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today, do you want your sins forgiven? You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to become a child of God. Because the blood of Jesus is so powerful that I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been doing. That blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse you from all sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you feel a tug on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit helping you. I want you to bow your heads. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand high enough so that I can see it. And that's an act of faith. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. He also said, if you disown me before men, I'll disown you before the Father. There's an either or all the time with God. Anybody here want to give Jesus Christ the Lord? Make him the Lord of your life. Allow him to come in and change you, to recreate you as a child of God, to wash away your sins.
Anybody
at all? Well, praise God. Praise God.
Well, I just want to encourage us to remember to turn in your resignation today as governor of your life, and let the Holy Spirit be your leader and guide.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Amanda, you want to come on up?